You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Corey, man, how you doing?
Doing well, feeling pretty good this morning, you know. unless Austin Hooper can score 60 points tonight,
yeah.
I'll have one of my teams snatched from me. Hate to see one leave, but still going to have some more in the mix. I'll be competing for my second straight off Flex Championship.
Beautiful.
Fantasy League Experts. My NFFC auction looks like I'll be going into the final week as the high point scorer.
Excellent.
And then my GST auction, it was taken away from me. 45 points from Todd Gurley was too much to overcome.
That is too much to overcome. Mr. Matt Modica, you came in here last Monday on a high besides the Theo Riddick-Chris Hogan thing. How do we feel today?
Feeling good, going to the championship.
Okay.
But I did spit up my ramen yesterday when I saw Antonio Brown go down.
Yeah.
It looks like the $100,000 dream has been dashed.
That $100,000 dream has been dashed for certainly not just you, but for fantasy football players around the country, seeing 1-1 AB go down early in that game against the Patriots. We'll get to that in just a second. But for me, it was a wild one. You know, I wound up putting how many points did I put up here? 171 points.
Nice.
I'm up by 21 with Julio Jones against Matt Bryant. So I, feel good.
Yeah, you should win that.
So
if you don't, it'd be something crazy.
Something crazy
happen.
Will happen. But
I don't know. Is that a PPR half point?
It's a half point. I have Julio Jones.
Oh, you have Julio.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought you had Matt Bryant.
No,
and you were like,
no.
I'm feeling good. And I was like,
no,
okay.
I have Julio against Matt Bryant. So, listen, I feel very good. It's crazy because he put up 150 points. I put up 171. And the other finals matchup, they barely broke 100. So it's just like, it's crazy. And then we went to the finals. It was a tough day because Devontae Adams has been arguably my best player all year. He goes down with a blindsided BS concussion. And then there's news about Aaron Rodgers after the game, which I was not happy about seeing at all. We're going to get to that in a little bit as well. But Rodgers, chipped into those 43 rushing yards. You forget how mobile he can be. But it was a wild day. I always hate when people do this, when they were just like, oh, can you believe who scored today? Tommy Bohannon? You know what? It happens every week. It happens every week with these random people score.
It does, but yesterday seemed
like... You say that every week!
No, no, no. Yesterday was like the ultimate troll day. It continually happened.
You literally say that every week.
Bohannon got, what, 2 touchdowns?
Yeah.
Mixon got 2 touchdowns.
That was crazy.
I mean, that's 4 touchdowns from, people we never expect.
Yeah, but it happens every week. Or, this week's more than ever. You know, it's... Whatever. It happens. So, it was a fun day around the NFL. A lot of points were scored, Corey. We always like to point that out. Slow scoring day, high scoring day. Yesterday was a lot of scoring around the NFL.
A lot of points going on yesterday. Definitely a lot of offense, which is very good for fantasy implications. So, but I think we're starting to see some things get set and shake into place. That Los Angeles Rams team look very good right now. They're going to be a problem in the playoffs. And Nick Foles comes right in and leads the Philadelphia Eagles the way that we figured he could. So
and he leads fantasy teams as well. He was a right pick. You know what? Pretty much any of the quarterbacks you picked up really came through for you yesterday. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. Let's talk about the Antonio Brown injury and how we recover from that. Matt, it affects you. It affects you, Corey. Let's talk about it. We'll do it next here on the Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Is it Halloween?
I guess. It seems like it. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Executive Matt Modica. It's crazy. You see Antonio Brown drop a touchdown, which is rare enough. He drops a touchdown and then goes down and doesn't get back up. He does that thing where he's hopping the sidelines, really limping his way to the sidelines. And you're like, all right, dude, like, I hope this is one of those things where Antonio Brown just kind of just walks it off.
Yeah.
You see that a lot where he starts hopping and then he's back two plays later. Didn't happen yesterday.
You know,
there's a chance because he hopped off the field. He was walking. He walks into the tent and he comes out and he immediately goes to the locker room. And then you're like, okay. They say it's a calf contusion.
Questionable. All
right. Okay.
It looked like a high ankle sprain to me at first.
A calf contusion. You hear that. You hear that, Chris. Don't touch anything. Bring my... All right.
Yeah.
So anyway, you need a calf contusion, and you hear it's questionable, and they're like, okay, a contusion is a bruise. That's fine. And here he goes to the hospital, Corey, and that's not good.
No, AB ends up going to the hospital. You hear later on that he has a full calf strain with that tear in his calf is going to keep him out for the rest of the regular season. Matt, I said on Old School on Friday night, Somebody that you need in week 16 is not going to be there.
Oh, trust me. When that happened, I was just thinking of that.
I didn't think it was going to be Antonio Brown. I definitely wasn't hoping it was going to be Antonio Brown. But now you got a situation where Antonio Brown is not going to be there in your championship week for you. If you made it despite the injury, we got to figure it out. The Juju Smith-Schuster play coming up in Week 16. Smith-Schuster is the talk of Week 16 because he has an excellent opportunity.
Yeah, and in like a past life, the fantasy exec was like some voodoo priest or something. We saw it in baseball. We've seen it in football. You know, it was crazy. I mean, Corey's right. You knew somebody was going to go down. And, you know, this year we've lost so many good players, and which happens every year pretty much. Last year might have been a little different, the outlier. But to see Antonio Brown go down, you know, this guy was legitimately an MVP as a wide receiver.
Yeah, we've seen two possible MVPs now go down in back-to-back weeks in Carson Wentz and Antonio Brown. And we haven't seen that, right? Like a MVP wide receiver. We've never seen it, I believe, in the NFL. He goes down in a monster game. But the good news is for him, I mean, it kills us as fantasy players. The good news is for him, with the Steelers potentially getting that bye, and they were well on their way to home field advantage throughout the playoffs until Big Ben blew it at the end. But with the Steelers getting that bye, he should be back for the playoffs when it starts in, for them in, what, 4 weeks or so. You have 16-17 bye. Yeah, he'll have 3 weeks off, and then the fourth week he comes back. So he should be back, which is huge. Now that bye...
They're not guaranteed that bye yet because Jacksonville is right on top of them.
And Jacksonville's a tiebreaker over them.
Yep.
But the one thing they do luck out is they're at Houston, and then they finish home versus Cleveland.
Yeah. So right now, if you look at the standings, Pittsburgh's 11-3, Jacksonville's 10-4. I believe they do have to win back to back, or have Jacksonville lose a game in order to seal that bye. Of course, they would have won yesterday. It basically would have been theirs.
They should have at least tied that game. I mean,
they should have won.
I mean, I'm getting a little tired of this, where you know nothing's a catch anymore. I don't know if a running back just puts the ball past the thing, it's a touchdown. So if the wide receiver catches it, and the ball goes over the goal line or whatever, that should be a touchdown, right? I'm so damn confused.
Well, ultimately, and Dean Blandino, the former head of referees, he went over this as well after the game. He tweeted about it. Basically said when the receiver or the ball catcher goes to the ground, he is not a runner yet. He has not completed the catch. Now, if it's a running back who's running there, reaches over the goal line, it's a touchdown. Because Jesse James went to the ground, and clearly, listen, he rolled into the end zone. We all saw it. Mm-hmm. And as Tony Dungy said, and he said it right, he goes, basically, listen, in high school, it's a catch. In flag football, it's a catch. In college, it's a catch. The only place it's not a catch is in the NFL. Because, listen, we all know what he was doing. We all know it's a catch. But because of how he did it, it wasn't a catch. By the rules, it wasn't. And crazy.
If the NFL does one thing, they need to fix this catch rule. And that needs to be changed.
In my opinion, that's one of the two things the NFL has to do. That the one thing, we're going to continue on with the Steelers game in a moment, but the other thing they have to do is change the ridiculous fumble the ball out of bounds and touchback rule. Because that is ridiculous as well.
Yeah, that's another one too. But I think more
I don't know how you fix the catch rule though. That's my problem. I don't like know the answer to that.
I never had a problem with the way it was for, you know, the first, you know, 30 years or 35 years I was watching football.
Right.
You know, now all of a sudden, ever since, I mean, it started with Calvin Johnson, then you had the Dez play versus the Packers.
Yep.
And it's just gotten worse and worse, and you know, every time we got to review every catch. I mean, I'm getting fed up with replay, be honest with you.
I know, and I get it. I get how frustrating it is as a viewer. Listen, that one, which I think by the letter of the law was the right call, and I stand by that. But hey, you know what? Big Ben effed this one up. This one's on Big Ben because Juju makes the unbelievable move to get all the way down there, and he winds up having a chance to Jesse James. Incomplete. Fine. No big deal. No big deal. Next play, he didn't have it. Fine. Third down. Notice Le'Veon Bell doesn't touch the ball here, which is crazy.
That was crazy.
Third down, 9 seconds. Do you spike it? No. And Tony Romo was screaming, run the fade in the corner, run the fade in the corner. And he's right, because nothing could happen, right? You throw a fade, either your guy gets it or it's incomplete. And that's the move. And as they said, the guys in NBC said after the game, if you want to run a play, fine, but run a play. Don't do a fake spike against a team that practices the fake spike, because Brady does it too. It was a silly decision. And I have to say this, Big Ben yesterday immediately throws Todd Haley under the bus. Immediately. You know what he says? He goes, I wanted to spike the ball, but the coach in my ear, which is Todd Haley, says, run the play. So I ran the play. Well, you know what, Ben? You didn't have him. Throw the ball away. You're not a rookie quarterback. You've been doing this for 15 years. Throw the ball away. And he threw it into traffic, gets tipped up, and they lose the game.
Well, the one thing, when he didn't get in the end zone, you had that bad little feeling. Like, they're not going to get a touchdown, or maybe it's just a field goal.
Right.
But has anybody learned against the Patriots, don't throw the ball right over the middle when you're inside the five or whatever. You know, you're 100% right. Do the fade or whatever.
I hate the fade, but this is the perfect time for the fade.
I agree. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the fade, you know, unless you got like a Rob Gronkowski type who can just outmaneuver people. But it was just like, he just rushed it. You saw Ben. It was like he just felt like he had to throw the ball.
Well, here's my problem, right? So he goes for the fake spike. Everybody on his team stopped except for Eli Rogers. Like, not even the other players on his own team moved, right? Like, at least if you're on the fake spike, let everybody know what you're doing and let Martavis Bryant go. Let Le'Veon Bell go. Give the ball to your best player. It's crazy. And even if you're going across the middle, that's Antonio Brown normally going across the middle, not Eli Rogers. It's a massive, massive mistake by Todd Haley, by Ben Roethlisberger, and it cost him home field advantage potentially throughout the playoffs.
This has a huge swing. I mean, I don't see the Steelers losing at Houston or home versus Cleveland to wrap it up, so they should get the bye. But if they drop one of these games and then Jacksonville gets the bye, I mean, they just screwed up their whole playoff scenario.
Yeah, I mean, literally all on that one play. But as reporters said after the game, hopefully we'll see these two teams again. Very evenly matched. Hopefully Antonio Brown is back for that one. Big Ben yesterday, the fantasy perspective, gives you 280 and two throws in the interception. Le'Veon Bell, I played against Le'Veon Bell yesterday. And when Antonio Brown goes down, I'm like, oh my God, this is the end of me.
Yeah, no, but Le'Veon Bell is just incredible. But that Ben, you know, that last series, he went from a touchdown to an interception. That's an 8-point swing right there.
Yeah, it is.
Just like that. Just like that. Great finish to that one, though. You know what I'm saying? Definitely exciting times to see that. It lived up to it.
117 yards on the ground for Le'Veon Bell and a touchdown. 48 through the air, 5 receptions. I mean, it's ridiculous how much of the offense runs through him. Juju Smith-Schuster had a 69-yard catch and run. As Corey said a few moments ago, he's going to be a massive, massive player in the finals without Antonio Brown. Him and Martavis Bryant, 459 of touchdown, Matt.
Yeah, how the hell did that happen? He just like took off down the side. How do you not force him out? Game on the line. I thought he was getting a touchdown. Same. I really did. It looked like he was setting up the blockers everything. Yep. But, you know, hey, yeah, Corey's 100% right. He will be the player of the week.
And with that Antonio Brown injury, it almost gets overlooked. Rex Burkhead's injury, who goes down with the knee after scoring a touchdown, vulturing the touchdown from Deion Lewis. Burkhead goes down with his own knee injury. Although reports are it's not ACL, it's not overly serious, but it could sideline him next week, Matt.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that one.
No, I'm sure you're not. If you drafted Rob Gronkowski, this is what you drafted him for. 9 for 168.
He went crazy. He was excellent.
He was amazing.
Yep, he certainly was.
He was amazing. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll go YouTube Live and talk about the return of Aaron Rodgers. We do it next here on the Roto Experts.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Studio 34. This is the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson. This is Wall Street Mount Mojica. I am Greg Sussman. Gentlemen, what's happening? How are you feeling after week 15?
Getting ready for a couple of championship games, so looking forward to that. Obviously, had to lose a couple teams, but you know what? It happens throughout the course of the season. You can't withstand every Todd Gurley 4-touchdown, 45 fantasy point performance. But it's like one team I had Gurley, and it pushed me to the top. Another team, I played against Gurley. It caused me to lose. I'm going to have the same exact scenario next week.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. You had Kareem Hunt and Todd Gurley come through for you, and yet the return, the big story going into yesterday was the return of Aaron Rodgers, and well, we saw the return of Aaron Rodgers, and the problem for me, Matt, is it may just last one game. So with Rodgers yesterday, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and he didn't look like himself. He didn't look healthy, but he's looking at 3 touchdowns, over 20 fantasy points. All right, it's fine. But with the Falcons, if they win on Monday night, the Packers are officially eliminated from the playoffs after fumble here to Geronimo Allison. After he fumbles, Packers lose, and ultimately, they wind up losing the game. Now, if the Falcons win, the Packers are eliminated on Monday night. And Mike McCarthy said, I can't promise you we throw out Aaron Rodgers here.
If they get eliminated, why play him? Look, he's the reason that game was even close. He made all the plays that he was able to make, buying the time with his legs.
Yep.
He was running at times. You know, otherwise, I mean, the Jordy Nelson. Oof. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers kept that game and kept the game close.
You know, Aaron Rodgers keeps the game close. He winds up surviving here in this game, and we'll see. I mean, he says he wants to play. It's going to be the doctor's call. But Rodgers, the final numbers, 290, 3 touchdowns and 3 interceptions yesterday. And the end to get to the wide receivers. Devontae Adams, 5 for 57 and a touchdown, and he looked just like he had all year as the number one wide receiver until Thomas Davis blindsides him.
I can't see how Devontae Adams is on the field in week 16. This is going to be the third in 2 years. And earlier in the season on that Thursday night, he got his head taken.
Nasty one.
So, I mean, this is just too many concussions in a short period of time.
He walked off the field yesterday, too, after that blindside.
Oh, yeah, he walked right in the locker room, which is crazy.
Nobody recovers that quicker than Devontae Adams has. I mean, yeah. We didn't think the last time, but I got to think
they're going to sit him this time.
Yeah. They have to sit out. And then,
especially, by the way, especially if they're eliminated. If they have no reason to play him, which is a crushing blow to me and other fantasy owners, because ultimately, this guy, it was everything you drafted him for, everything we said in the preseason, Corey. I know we were nervous. I know
the Packers number one wide receiver.
I know we tried to trade him. We tried to cut him. All this stuff when Aaron Rodgers goes down, we freaked out. I tried to trade him to anybody. And all anyone wanted for me was Michael Crabtree or T.Y. Hilton. No one wanted Devontae Adams. And here it is, Devontae Adams, even with these concussions, right now, 74 receptions, 885 yards, 10 touchdowns, the Packers' number one wide receiver, and most of that is without Aaron Rodgers. It's been an amazing year for Devontae Adams.
No, it really has, and you saw yesterday. Aaron Rodgers has been watching on the sidelines of what Adams has done, because he was his guy. Mm-hmm. He did try and get Jordy involved a couple of times, maybe forced it one time into where he shouldn't have thrown it, which turned into a pick. But it's a new day in Green Bay. It's Devontae Adams.
If Aaron Rodgers does play next week, though, I think you could play Randall Cobb.
Yeah, no, Randall Cobb definitely became relevant once again.
Yep. We had the wrong Rodgers friend, basically, because Jordy Nelson yesterday, same thing he did all year. Like, fantasy owners, including, I believe, the only kid had him in his top 24. I saw other people have him in their top 10. It was that kind of day, and Jordy Nelson did what he did all year.
I will say, coming into the year, you had to have a little trepidation that Jordy, you know, it's when people say, do you want to be a year early and get off a guy? You know, he's not a kid anymore. He's not that same player coming back from this injury. We saw it last year and even this year before Rodgers got hurt.
The problem was Aaron Rodgers underthrew Jordy in what should have been a long touchdown. Like, underthrew him, like old Aaron Rodgers or healthy Aaron Rodgers gets the ball way over the top and Jordy scores a touchdown. It didn't happen. And listen, you knew this possibility with Rodgers being hurt. And he didn't come through. Randall Cobb, on the other hand, especially if Devontae Adams is out and Aaron Rodgers plays and his inability to throw the deep ball, Randall Cobb's going to have a monster game in the finals next week. 7 for 84 and a touchdown.
Yeah, and he's probably on a lot of people's
14 targets.
Probably on a lot of people's waiver wires, too. So if he's out there this week and you can make a pickup, you can go scoop him up. I was just talking with Matt in the break. I think I would rather play Randall Cobb over A.J. Green next week.
Yeah, that's got to be a possibility. I don't see why the Bengals are going to play Andy Dalton next week. It makes no sense. Why not just go to AJ McCarron?
They've thrown a towel in. Homeboy said he's not coming back. He won't run no parts of it. It's over. Cincinnati they have waved the flag.
Yeah, and on Fantasy Football Live, me and George were talking about that with Aaron Rodgers. It may take a quarter or a half just to get the rust off and stuff. But yeah, if Atlanta wins tonight, I don't see why Rodgers plays, while Devontae Adams, even
absolutely,
if cleared, would play. I think they got to protect him from himself.
And if Rodgers doesn't play, even if Devontae Adams doesn't play, I don't run back to Randall Cobb, because there isn't this affinity between Brett Hundley and Randall Cobb. That's not there.
No, that's not going to happen. That's not the case at all. If Rodgers doesn't play, then I go right back to what it has been. Well, you can't really, if Rodgers doesn't play, you can't really look at starting any of these guys. Maybe Jamal Williams, who was the zero yesterday.
Jamal Williams was a zero yesterday. And listen, I had said with Aaron Rodgers back, his offense changes. 10 carries, 30 yards. And the more effective running back was Aaron Jones, who had 3 for 47. And then Mike McCarthy went away from him.
Yeah, Aaron Jones had 3 for 47. I believe he had 2 runs of 20 yards or more.
He did.
And the thing, I didn't like Williams for many reasons. One was the matchup.
Sure.
Carolina is tough against the run. Number two, you bring in Rodgers back. Rodgers throws touchdown passes. Not that Williams can't catch the ball. I'm not saying that. But he's not going to be that option. Unless they got the ball on the one-yard line, then he has a chance. Otherwise, you're going to see guys like Cobb, Adams, or Nelson really be the first options there.
100%. And now, it wasn't a good matchup at all for Jamal Williams or the running backs here in Green Bay without Rodgers coming back. Very, very clearly not. But on the other side of that, Carolina and Cam Newton played as good of a game as I've seen Cam Newton play in a very long time. Cam Newton was spectacular. 4 touchdowns. You can hold him up
back
there.
Back-to-back weeks
is 4 touchdowns. 242 yards passing on the ground. Controlled. Carried the ball 14 times. Ran at 58. The first drive was McCaffrey. And I saw a great thing on NBC later where Cam checks, right?
Yeah.
And Clay Matthews screams, "Wheel route, wheel route, wheel route." And Cam goes, "Huh, you're watching film. All right, I see you. Watch this." Slant, McCaffrey touchdown. I was like, oh.
And then you go right there.
Cool.
I mean, one thing about Cam Newton, when he is on the money, he can take over a football game. He is one of that type of talent. He can take over a game with his arm, his rushing ability.
Yeah.
Something else that was said about him yesterday, people look at him and they look at his completion percentage and look how many yards he throws for. You have to look past that when you're talking about Cam Newton, because of what he does, so all the other things he does as far as the running ability and stuff like that. He's a quarterback that you have to evaluate differently than the rest of the quarterbacks.
I agree. What he can do is different. Now, it was weird that I thought that, like, after the first drive was McCaffrey, they went away a little bit, which was like, why are you doing this? Just literally keep throwing him the ball. But as somebody that was not in on Christian McCaffrey in his rookie year, Matt, in me, I'm more impressed with this kid going forward. I know Corey has stated, like, where if he's drafted in the second or third round, he doesn't want him. I'm going to not say that. I want a piece of this dude.
I'll take him in the third.
Look, if you're gonna catch, what is he, if you're gonna catch like 80 passes,
yeah, that's crazy.
It's if you're playing PPR, it's tough to ignore. You can't do it. The thing with Cam for me as a quarterback, he's kind of like the Melvin Gordon. You don't really care about the yards per carry right. with Melvin Gordon. You don't care about the completion percentage with Cam because he can run for 60 yards. At the drop of a dime on any play, he can get you that 50-60 usually in the bag for him rushing.
Yep.
And then he gets touchdowns. Look, sometimes it doesn't look pretty, but all you care about is the end result. Look at Blake Bortles for a couple of years. Top 5, top 10 quarterback. And he was terrible. So, I mean, look, Cam to me is a guy you just always, if you get, every year when he's depressed in drafts, that's when you got to get him.
I agree, and I think Christian McCaffrey's gonna be a fun one to own. Mm-hmm. Talking about playoff duds yesterday, that's what Devin Funchess was. Devin Funchess just one catch for 19 yards on the day yesterday.
Can't happen every week. We saw the other kid, Bird, get shots. Devin Funchess did have a ball in his hands in the end zone.
Hit his shoulder, his banged up shoulder.
Yeah, and it was broken up, so that kind of was his only opportunity. In most cases, you would go back to him next week, even though he had this poor performance.
Well, one guy picked up the slack besides Bird, but Mr. Greg Olsen.
Oh, yeah.
Came in and, you know, I thought maybe last week, I was saying he's outside the tight end one, but after that, you know, you roll the dice on him. But he had the one target the prior week.
Yeah.
But I think that was more of playing Minnesota and having maybe the block and stuff like that against that defense. But yeah, he had a field day yesterday.
9 catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown for Greg Olsen yesterday. And I kind of agree with Matt. Get his feet wet a little bit last week. Block against Minnesota. And now go wild against Green Bay. I had said all week last week, which way am I going to go, Greg Olsen or O.J. Howard? I went with Greg Olsen yesterday because it was placing Green Bay, and it's still Greg Olsen. And I worked that out okay. And I feel good having Greg Olsen next week against Tampa Bay.
Yes, you should.
I feel okay about that one. So there you go. If you have Aaron Rodgers, hopefully you advance, and you have Blake Bortles in case he doesn't play next week. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we're going to talk to the king, Scott Engel, see if he advanced in his GST league. Thanks for watching. We'll be back with some more videos later on. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It is the Roto Expert. Stick around. More right after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day. Up and Adam Roto Experts in the morning right here, FNTSY Radio. Corey Parson, the fantasy executive. Holding it down for Mr. Sussman right quick. Time to talk to the King, Scott Engel. Your Royal Highness, how are you doing, sir?
Jump. Your executiveness. This is This is a pleasant surprise.
It definitely is a pleasant surprise, Scotty. I was Mr. Sussman is running around taking care of the class, so I get a chance to sit and talk with you right here. So how'd it go yesterday for you, Scott? How'd it go yesterday in the in your semifinal matchups?
Mixed bag, Corey.
Okay, same here.
I would say, though, that some of the leagues that I really wanted to advance in, though, I did, which was good. I actually won my Scott Fishbowl League Super Bowl yesterday. I advanced in the GST
to
the Super Bowl.
Going to the GST Super Bowl
I believe
next
I'm taking
week.
A league. Yeah, I believe I'm in the lead for overall points in that. And also in the Headbangers Bowler Celebrity League, I advanced to the Super Bowl. But I got knocked out in two personal leagues
Hold on
in my
one
Dynasty
second. Back
league,
to the
so
Headbangers
kind of balanced out.
Don't tell me you lost to Andy Balsack.
You have to listen to what I say. I said I advanced to the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. Are you playing Andy Balsack?
No, he didn't make the playoffs.
Oh, darn it. I was looking for the King versus Balsack matchup.
So, no, the GST, I'm in the Super Bowl, and it was a very interesting decision. Dom and I, my friend Dom Castiglione, who you know well, Corey, I call him the team with, we had a very interesting decision. As we were talking through whether we wanted to use Mike Davis or Nelson Aguilar in the flex.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that Aguilar, he felt he was going to have a big game against the Giants. I felt like Davis was going to get a lot of touches. And we were both very close. But we both agreed on the fact that we didn't want to have three Seahawks in our starting lineup in case it turned out to be a low-scoring game and that ended up to be the right call. And we advanced to the Super Bowl.
Nice job right there. So you guys get to move forward in the GST League. Definitely was pulling for you on that one, Scotty. You look at the big performance of yesterday, and it was it came from Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley, I mean, I remember talking back in the offseason about buying last year's trash. Obviously, it came with a lot of risk, you know, with the quarterback situation going into the beginning of the year, new head coach. But Todd Gurley's been absolutely phenomenal, and I think he solidifies himself as a top 5-6 fantasy draft pick in 2018. He is getting it done.
I think he solidifies himself as probably top two, top three. You could argue that the top three next year, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Todd Gurley. I mean, who are you really going to take over? David Johnson, a lot of people are going to say, okay, he's coming off of a big injury, you know, when Todd Gurley has the health. This was the biggest game of his fantasy career, and he tied a record for the most rushing touchdowns by a Seattle opponent. And you didn't expect the game to be the kind of blowout it was, but with Bobby Wagner not being 100%, KJ Wright out, no Cam Chancellor, credit the Rams. They took full advantage. And you give Todd Gurley a lot of credit because he was just making people miss tackles. He was slipping tackles. He was just doing everything.
Nah, Todd Gurley.
And credit to you, too, because you were the guy that said, I'm going back for last year's trash.
Yeah, went back to grab Todd Gurley, went back to grab DeAndre Hopkins. I look at my two teams that are left, Scotty. One has Todd Gurley. The other one has DeAndre Hopkins. So definitely seminal players in fantasy football rosters this year. If you took the risk to go back on those two players, because both of them had situations coming into the year, Scott, where we really didn't know what it was going to be. Neither player was a slam dunk. You look at coming into the year, we didn't know really who DeAndre Hopkins' quarterback was going to be.
No, but as long as it wasn't Brock Osweiler, I think I was pretty confident in it.
The Brocket ship. Mr. Sussman's
favorite player. The Brocket ship crashes. Yeah.
Crashed and burned.
The Brocket ship. Yeah. Crashed and burned. Pretty much. But, you know, that's this decision in the GST was interesting because sometimes you have a co-owner, you want to kill him, but it's nice to talk it through with somebody. And I eventually came to the decision that I didn't want to have Jimmy Graham, Paul Richardson, and Mike Davis in the lineup and which one was going to go. And it was going to be Davis. In the GST, I had Gurley and Hunt.
Okay. Yeah, no, I checked on your score yesterday, so I saw you got that big weekend for those two big-time players. What did you think of Aaron Rodgers' return yesterday, Scotty? Looks like Randall Cobb got involved more. We didn't see as much Jordy Nelson as we thought. But, Scott, I mean, we talked about it earlier. I remember when we did this, we had the discussion, you were sitting right next to me, and I said Davante Adams could very well be the Packers' number one wide receiver. The people on YouTube, Scott, in the chat, they called me everything but a child of God, but it looks like it's trending that way now.
Well, you are a child of God. Don't
Thank
worry
you,
about
Scott.
That. But, I know the YouTubers are going to call you something different every day, so I really wouldn't sweat it.
Yeah.
But with Rodgers, I think everything was there except the arm strength. he moved out of the pocket. He made all the right reads, but you could see on the throws that the arm strength quite wasn't there. Usually those are throws that he makes. Some of them fell short, especially on the interception to Jordy. I don't know if he plays in Week 16 or not, but it's a tough matchup against Minnesota. You still roll him out there. He's Aaron Rodgers. It would be his second week back, and it's less rust. And even if they're not going to make the playoffs, Rodgers is still a very proud guy and probably going to put up good numbers. As for Jordy, I think he proved that really wasn't the quarterback situation. The switch to Brett Hundley, it's just you can see that there's something lacking with Jordy Nelson in terms of his ability to get in and out of routes and cuts.
Hey, Scotty, I'm really pulling
Matty
for
Bo.
You. Good morning. I'm really pulling for you in this GST. I want you to take the league down, take the overall down. You know, I want you to come in next Monday feeling strong.
There you go. You know what? I really want to win, not just for me, obviously selfishly, but I want to win for my friend Dom, because we dedicated the team to his brother Sal, mm-hmm. who passed away earlier this year. That's why the name of the team is Phantom 516 Forever. So you know, we want to win and you know dedicate the victory to his brother.
That's a good look right there, Scotty. You stand up guy. So definitely pulling for you guys. But you know, obviously you have an opponent too, so I'm quite sure he's not going to be pulling for you, but maybe the king gets a chance to get a chance to take that one down. When you look at some more of the action from yesterday, Scott, a couple of people that disappointed. Doug Baldwin and Jimmy Graham, you mentioned them earlier. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham with zeros in two consecutive weeks. Yeah. He is so touchdown dependent because the yardage just isn't there. I think the ankle injury has been a hindrance for a long time because he really is not a threat outside the 20. Yesterday he got smacked like on his first catch and we thought it was a fumble. It turned out to be incomplete. I think Baldwin definitely rebounds against Dallas, but Graham's very touchdown dependent. I think he can roll him out against Dallas. I think that might turn out to be a high scoring game. But you know the Rams dominated them in every single phase of the game. You know, they were crushing the offensive line, and the left side had played much better over the last few weeks. But even Dwayne Brown was getting crushed yesterday. The receivers weren't getting open. It's just the Rams proved that they're the better team yesterday. And credit to Matt because he was the one who said the Rams were going to win the division.
Yeah, well, you know what, Scott? Look, this Seattle defense is just totally decimated. But it's just. I kind of figured the New World Order was coming. They were playing too handicapped, even though, you know, like, Wagner wasn't the same guy. The secondary is a shell of itself. Russell Wilson, you know, he's been amazing. He's been an MVP contender, you know, in fantasy, if not the best player, one of the best players. And, you know, it was just too much to overcome. And, you know, that just happens. It happens. I was disappointed. The one disappointment I had in that game on the Rams side was Cooper Kupp. I was really in on the guy you have going to the Hall of Fame, and I was riding him hard yesterday. He almost got that touchdown, but he did not.
Yeah, almost doesn't matter. You know, nothing in the box score for that. This was probably, you know, as a Seattle fan, probably the most – I would say the most, how should I say, crushing loss in like 23 years.
More so than the Carolina.
Say at home,
more so than Carolina.
Regular season.
Okay, regular season, yeah.
What about Pete Carroll, Scott? You think he's looking to jump ship at
the Carolina playoff game? That wasn't crushing. They came back from a big lead deficit and they lost. But, you know, the one thing, though, that I took away from this game, though, and I look at Aaron Rodgers, too, when people look at football and, like, when the Seahawks, the years they won the Super Bowl, they were calling Russell Wilson a game manager and now they're praising him because he's carrying the team. As a football fan, you don't want one guy carrying your team. You want complete balance. As far as Carroll, you know, like you said, Matt, this team has been decimated. You know, you have to wonder how different it would be if, you know, they weren't missing like four Pro Bowlers yesterday on the defense.
No, I totally get that. But Pete Carroll's the kind of the guy that looks to leave just before anything, you know.
Right.
I just watching him in college when I lived out in L.A., he was all about that nightlife scene, being a celebrity, and he left USC right before, you know, the hammer came down.
Yeah, this would be a good time for him to try to slide to New York City to take that New York Giant job. Scotty, what happened?
I don't know if that's going to happen because I think if guys return healthy next year, that you know this team still has at least a playoff window.
Hey, let me ask you this, Scotty. What happened with the two Seahawks players beefing back and forth on Twitter last night? What was up with that? What kind of dissension going on in the locker room again?
Yeah, and Earl Thomas came out and said in post-game interviews that he felt that Wagner shouldn't have played. And when you watch Wagner yesterday, it's like he certainly wasn't himself. And then Wagner told him to stop being – he had a tweet that said, stop being jealous of other people's success, but I continue to – You hope to ball, but it was taken down. But look, you know, we work with large groups of people. Not everybody's always going to like each other. You go back to your Yankees of 1977. The manager and the star of the team hated each other. So
yeah, they won the World Series.
Not everybody's always going to like each other.
They won the World Series too, Scott. You feel what I'm saying?
Mean, even when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, Percy Harvin was having fist fights with Golden Tate. So.
Bring back the Reggie bar, Scott.
That is it. Right. Hey, Scotty.
That was pretty good.
Hope to see you this week, Scotty. If not, definitely be speaking with you. Good luck next weekend
definitely.
If I don't hear from you, Scotty. Go ahead and take that joint down, all right?
Win it, Scotty. Win it all.
I'll see you Sunday. All right. I'm going to try.
Fantasy
for Sal Castiglione.
All right. There you go. Roto Experts. Be back in a moment right after this on FNTSY Radio.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Roto Experts, we are back. We're going to wrap up this first hour. And look, if you played Todd Gurley and Kareem Hunt, or if you had Todd Gurley and Kareem Hunt, next hour, give us a call. I want to hear which side of the coin you were on, if that did happen. Because that was a very that was a possible outcome.
I had a team that actually did that.
It sounds like you're on the opposite side.
Consolation round, though.
Okay.
So that sucks, man. Put that big number in the consolation round really made no sense. But, both of those guys, Matt, really came through. And you look at Kareem Hunt, right? When they give him the football, the talent is undeniable.
Kareem Hunt, the last 2 weeks, had 59 touches, 62.4 fantasy points in a PPR.
That's crazy.
It's amazing how when good things happen when you give your best player the ball. And maybe the best thing that happened for the Chiefs, it took till late in the year, but Andy Reid turning over the play calling.
The play calling, definitely. That was a big deal right there when it comes to why that team, I think, is starting to turn it back around now and looking good once again. So, and I think they'll be right back in the mix in the AFC because they definitely do have the dynamic playmakers in the offense. Teddy Bridgewater, he made an appearance yesterday. How about that?
Yeah, that was good to see. And, you know, he threw an interception on his first pass, but that's not the story here. It's the fact that he got back on
the field. Yeah.
And one thing I was concerned is if he came in and started looking good. Because I saw it with the Bills that time when they benched Flutie. And Case Keenum doesn't get no talk about this. But he's possibly an MVP. Case Keenum, where would his team be without it?
Yeah, no doubt about that. I was going to mention the same thing. I don't think even with how much you know the people and the fan base and the whole organization love Teddy Bridgewater and want to see him succeed, I think it's come to the point now where they understand that this is going to have to happen next year because I heard, I don't know who it was, I was listening to somebody, this team could very well be home for the entire month of January and on Super Bowl Sunday. And that defense at home, that's trouble.
No, that's really, like I said, in fantasy, they haven't given you the points for the most. They got the defensive touchdown yesterday. But this team, NFL-wise, real-life-wise, is really tough. You got all roads closed. You got linebackers, defensive linemen. They pretty much have it everywhere. So, I mean, I think Case Keenum deserves to be mentioned there. If I had a vote after 15 weeks, it would go to Todd Gurley for what he means to this team, where the Rams are coming off of last season. So, Gurley, I think, has to be, if not the leading contender, right there.
Yeah, definitely he's in the conversation. When you look at that game yesterday, the way he showed up in Week 15, putting that beat down on them. Man, I just look at it like, how bad was Jeff Fisher really last year? This team was
on
horrific.
On so many levels, though.
Yes.
Todd Gurley. Look at Goff. I mean, everybody was like, Goff is a bust.
They thought he was the worst quarterback ever.
Yeah, there was like no way. He did put up like historically horrific numbers, and let's give a shout-out to Mr. Sussman here. He has turned the lights on.
Shout-out to Mr. Sussman. That's Greg. It's too early for that, though.
Another guy I just want to mention real quick is Mark Ingram and what he does. He, on like 11 or 12 rushes every week, he gets 90, 100-plus yards. And there was a stat, when he gets less than 18 touches a game, he's actually more productive than when he gets more, which is kind of crazy to me.
How about Derek Carr turning into David Carr? Ooh. You know, on that last drive, obviously Cowboys playoff hopes on the line, I had no doubt in my mind that Carr was going to turn that football over. I thought it would be an interception, not a fumble at the back of the end zone, but I knew Carr was going to turn that ball over.
I took what they call mother's little helper, so I didn't get to stay up for the rest of that game. But yeah, what happened in Oakland this year, it's kind of tragic on a football sense. Look, we knew the defense wasn't going to be good, but this offense, and you know, maybe not re-upping Bill Musgrave was a major mistake for Oakland, because what the offense was last year and what it is this year, it's night and day.
No, definitely. You look at that case. They got a lot of work that they need to do in the offseason. The pieces are on the roster, but they got to figure out how to put them together. Roto Experts, hour number one down. Come back, hour number two. Mr. Sussman sits back in the big chair, and we get you caught up to date with everything else that took place semifinal Sunday right here on FNTSY Radio.